It is good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? And to worship Him, and to seek Him, and to learn from Him. We're going to be using some notes that we have today. If you don't have the fill-in notes, just raise your hand and someone will get those to you. We have a hand up here and a couple over here, so just make sure we get those to everyone. We're going to be looking today in the book of Esther. We're going to finish up Esther today, and we are excited and thankful for what the Lord's going to do today in our lives. Even as you're finishing up passing those around, again, just you can leave your hands raised until you get one. But I'm just going to pray for us as we partake of the scriptures. Father, thank you for this moment. I thank you that you are here, and we ask that you would have your way. Lord, I thank you that you know everything that's happening in everyone's life. You know what's happening in their hearts, God. You know what's happening in their homes. You know what's happening in their relationships. And I thank you, God, that you're here to meet us right where we are. That you want to draw us closer to you. You want to take us to the next level, Lord. So we are open to receive. Our hearts are expectant, God, to receive. We want to hear a word from you. And Lord, I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to be talking today about the makings of a champion. The makings of a champion. Everyone say champion. Today we're going to talk about the makings of a champion. Here at Heart and Soul, our dream is to build champions through a gospel revolution that brings transformation to our family, community, city, and world. And just by way of review, we're gonna watch a video that's gonna show a little bit of the review of what's been happening in the book of Esther. You can go ahead, Daniel, and bring that up if you can. Yep, there it is, second one. Thank you. So we're gonna look at a review. This review is primarily made for children. So if you hear this person's voice, man, that sounds like they're talking to kids. They are, but I thought it was just a really good short little video on what's happened in the book of Esther, so that today we can finish off what the Lord would have us finish off today. So go ahead and hit play, Daniel, and let's watch this.
There once was a woman named Esther, who was a queen in a far-off land called Persia. But Esther was Jewish, and God had a plan for her life in this land. Queen Esther heard of a terrible plan that an evil man named Haman had formed against her people. But Queen Esther was very brave, and she risked her own life for her people when she realized what was at stake. Esther chose to speak up for what she believed in, and even though she was very scared, she went to meet the king while he was with Haman and said, "If I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people be spared." The king was shocked that someone would try to hurt his queen, and he said, "Who would do such a thing to you?" Queen Esther said, "The wicked Haman is our enemy." Haman grew pale with fright, for his plot had been discovered. The king jumped to his feet in anger, and Haman was sent to be executed. The king sent a decree across the land, and the Jewish people rose up to defeat anyone who tried to harm them. Wherever the king's decree was read, the Jews rejoiced and had a great celebration. To this day, the Jews celebrate this holiday of Purim every year, remembering the bravery of Queen Esther and the power of God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So that's why you know why I warned you, because it definitely sounded like she was talking to little kids, right? But I think it was a good summary of what has been happening up until now. The makings of a champion. My prayer for you and for us as a congregation is that we will get to a place where we are overcomers. Overcoming in our lives, and we're overcomers and not victims. That we're overcomers, we're gaining ground in the things of God. The Bible says things like this: greater is he that is inside of us than he that is in the world. The Bible says that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But frankly, sometimes we just don't know how. Everyone say how. How do we get to be a champion? And today we're going to talk about the makings of a champion as we finish this wonderful story of Esther. And I'm diving into the book of Esther, chapter 8, and you see in your notes in the first two verses, it says that on the same day King Xerxes gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Then Mordecai was brought before the king, for Esther had told the king how they were related. The king took off his signet ring, which he had taken back from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai to be in charge of Haman's property. And I wanted to say a couple of things very quickly. We've seen an incredible story of how a woman has risen up to power, and this wicked man, Haman, who was trying to destroy the Jewish people, has been found out, and he's been exposed. And the scripture there begins by saying, on that same day. Which same day? The same day when Esther exposed Haman, and he was taken to be killed because of his evil plan. That same day, everything changed. The Bible says that King Xerxes gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther. Haman was a very rich man. He had a lot of stuff. He was the enemy. And in that day, the Bible says that the king gave everything that belonged to Haman to Queen Esther and to the Jews and to her family. And Mordecai, this hero on this story, Mordecai, who's been a hero throughout the entire story of Esther, shows up. And Esther tells the king, this is my uncle. Finally, it's been revealed. She wasn't able to tell her nationality. Remember, this whole thing started because one man had a problem with someone from a different nationality, a different ethnicity. And he was so angry at that person from that other nationality that he decided not only that he was going to hate that person, but he was going to hate everyone that looked like them, that everyone from that ethnicity. And we know in our world today there are wars and rumors of wars, there are civil wars, there are atrocities happening all over the world because a certain group of people don't like a different ethnicity type of person. And so there's persecution, there's genocide, and this has been going on throughout history. We've talked also that the Jewish people have been persecuted from the beginning, and that even all the way back in the book of Esther, there was one man who wanted to wipe them out from the Persian Empire. But here's the key. When God is with you, everything changes. If you have people at school who are bullying you, if you have people at work who are trying to give you the culture, if you have people that are trying to work things against you, if God is for you, it makes all the difference in the world. God's favor can make all the difference. The makings of a champion, the first fill-in there is this. A champion must believe that God can turn things around in one moment. A champion must believe that God can turn things around in one moment. In this particular story, Haman, on that same day, Haman was the second in command, and all the Jews were going to be wiped out. But in one day, God changed everything and turned it completely around. And so you and I, in the game of life, we have to remember, we have to believe that no matter what's happening in our lives, we have to believe that in one moment, and even in one day, God can change everything. He can turn everything around. I've shared with you the stories of my life and how God kind of pushed me into leadership. I never wanted to be a leader. I didn't want to be somebody who talked to people. I was a shy person. I didn't like talking to people at all. I still remember being in my college dorm room on the floor there, and some guy saying, hey, Lewis, why don't you come with me? Why don't you come with us? We're going to try out for this resident advisor position, which is a leadership position. They provide scholarships and all kinds of stuff. Why don't you come with them, with us? And I was like, resident advisor? Don't resident advisors have to tell people what to do? Yes, they do. Don't resident advisors have to like be leaders on the floor and stuff like that? Yes, they do. I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to stay quiet and sitting down. I was super shy. I didn't talk to anybody back then. If you and I were having a meal, I would sit down across from you, and if you were the only person there, if Augustine was there was a table between us, and we were both eating lunch, I would just be quiet and not talk to him at all. That's how I was. I was super shy. But that day, everything changed. I went to that meeting, even though I kind of was like, you know, I'm not really interested. And then they said, well, why don't you sign up and apply? You know, and I applied, and I thought to myself, well, it's a position of very few out of a lot of people who are applying, so, and I'm not a leader, so obviously I'm not going to get it, so it's no big deal. So I applied, and the rest is history, God. opened up the doors for me to be a part of that program, and little by little, that program taught me what it meant to be a leader, and it took me from one course in my life to a different course in one day, in one moment. And you and I never know what that moment is. Everything in our lives can be changed. In one moment, God can do it. But we must believe. The makings of a champion. Do we believe? There was a game, a football game 2 weekends ago, where the team was the football game. For those of you who understand football, it was like 45-17, heading into the last quarter of the game. How many of you know that's a blowout? Did you know that? Okay, 45. Thank you, Lennox. I appreciate that, man. Awesome. And you're with me. I appreciate that. It's a blowout. But that team never stopped believing. Everyone say believe. They never stopped believing. And one thing happened, and another thing happened, and another thing happened. They ended up winning the game like 46-45 in the last second of the game. It was the craziest thing ever. Nobody had ever seen anything like it. It was the single greatest comeback in the history of college football. No one had seen it before. But it started because they maintained belief that they can do it. Can I just tell you something? Before we get to become champions for God, we have to believe that God can do something inside of us and transform us to become the champions that he wants us to be. Amen? Do you believe this morning? And the disciples asked it this way, because sometimes the disciples who walk with Jesus, their belief was sometimes high and sometimes low. But here's what they said to Jesus one time. They said, Jesus, increase our faith. Jesus, increase. Raise the level. Bring it up, God. Increase our faith, because sometimes I believe, but sometimes I don't believe. There's a famous statement by a man who was crying out, pleading to Jesus for his ill son. And he said, Jesus, would you please heal my kid? And Jesus says, I will do it if you believe. And the man responded and says, I believe. Help my unbelief. And if I can be honest with you today, most of the story of my life is, God, I believe, but help me overcome that part of me that doubts, that part of me that is not sure, that part of me that is afraid. God, I believe that you can set me free from addiction. God, I believe that you can restore my marriage. Help my unbelief. God, I believe that you can touch the life of my son and my daughter, but help my unbelief. God, I believe that you're in charge of my finances, but help my unbelief. God, I believe that I can get out of this depression and I can get my mind right, but help my unbelief. The makings of a champion must believe that God can turn things around in one moment. And for Esther and all the Jewish people and Mordecai, it changed in one day, in one moment. Then the scripture says, Esther went again before the king, falling down at his feet and begging him with tears to stop the evil plot devised by Haman the Agagite against the Jews. Again, the king held out the gold scepter to Esther, so she rose and stood before him. The next villain is, a champion must persevere until God's victory is seen. A champion must persevere until God's victory is seen. Can I just tell you something? Just a quiz, and if you don't know it, it's okay, but if you do know it, just yell it out. Where is Haman right now in this part of the story? How is he doing right now? He's dead. Thank you very much, Rosemary. That's right. He's dead. But I want you to notice something. I want you that Esther is still pleading with the king, because even though the evil man is dead, his plan and his strategy are still going on. Are you with me? Even though Haman has ceased to exist, the problem was not solved with him ceasing to breathe, because he had put some things in place, he had begun some things that were still going on and could still destroy the life of the Jews if something did not happen. And I just want us to think about this. Whatever strategy, whatever your legacy is, whatever you put into motion during your life will last till after you die. Whatever you put into motion, if you are a blessing and an encouragement to your kids and you love them well and you do great things as a parent, after you die, that will be a gift that keeps on giving, because those kids, when they'll rise and they'll do the same, they'll be loving, encouraging, and blessing to the next generation and the next generation. There are wicked strategies that can go on. and there are righteous strategies that go on. You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. Well, how many people do you know, don't answer me, but how many people do you know who are alcoholics today, and their daddy or mama was an alcoholic, or their grandpa and grandma was an alcoholic, and so on and so forth. Why? Because even after I die, I recognize that how I live my life will surpass my breath in this planet. Are you with me? Esther was crying out to the king because his strategies, his wickedness, were still going on. And here's a question for you and a question for me. What are we going to leave? What is the plan? What are the things that we're going to set in motion during our life that after we leave this planet are going to continue? Are they going to be life-giving? Are they going to be healing things? Are they going to be restoration things? What are we going to leave behind? Haman left behind death and destruction. And if it wasn't for an intervention from God, his machinations, his strategies would have destroyed the Jewish people. I want you to notice something as well. Esther has already approached the king once. She had the people fast for her so that when she approached the king, because it was illegal for anyone to stand before the king if he had not called them. You ever get a call that you don't want to talk to on the phone? Anybody get any telemarketing calls? Don't you guys love those? Aren't the best, right? It's like, hello, how you doing? We have an exciting opportunity for you, right? Or you answer the phone and say, you know, you qualify for this. It's like, I don't. An interruption. During the King Xerxes days, if he received a telemarketing call and he didn't want it, that person would die. That's how it worked back then. It doesn't work anymore, okay, guys? So we're good. We're good. But that's how it worked back then. If he was interrupted, he could have that person killed because he didn't want to be bothered. So Esther had already approached him once, and he had said, I'll do whatever you ask me to. And now Haman's already dead, and she's pleading again because the reality was that the answer, the deliverance had not happened yet. That's why a champion must persevere. Everyone say persevere. Until God's victory is seen. I'm not going to be happy just because, in a marriage, for example. I'm not going to be happy just because we don't fight today. And so we don't fight today, so we're happy. Okay, well, at least we're not fighting, so we're good. No, I want more than that. I want intimacy. I want union. I want love. I want God's love flowing through each one of us. I want true forgiveness. I want true communication. I want a marriage that we dream about. And because I want that marriage for both Amy and myself, we're going to keep working. We're going to keep going into the throne room of the king, persevering and saying, God, make me the man that can love her well. God, make us the marriage that you want, because that's what we're after. I'm not just going to be content with, well, today is not a bad day, so we're good. We're going all the way. A champion must persevere. A champion must believe, or say believe, that God can do it, and must persevere. Say persevere. Until God's victory is seen. But remember that whatever we put into place, whatever things we put into place, will outlast us. And that can be a blessing, or it can be a curse for the future generations. Esther said, verse 5 and 6, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor with him, and if he thinks it is right, and if I am pleasing to him, let there be a decree that reverses the orders of Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite. I just made up how that you say that. I have no idea how you say that, actually. Who ordered that the Jews throughout all the king's provinces should be destroyed. For how can I endure, she said, to see my people and my family slaughtered and destroyed? She is pleading with the king. A champion must press on until even the king moves on their behalf. A champion must press on. That's the next step. Must press on. We press on spiritually through prayer. We press on spiritually through prayer. The Bible says Jesus told the story of a woman who goes up to a judge because justice needed to be done for her. And the judge would not give her justice, and she went every day and said, Judge, you must give me justice. What has happened to me is unjust. You must give me justice. And Jesus was telling the story to talk about perseverance. I want to say perseverance. Perseverance wins the day in prayer. It is not possible for us to come to God day by day and crying out genuinely family from our heart and him turn away from us, he will listen to us. A champion must press on until even the king moves on their behalf. And just a quick note on this scripture as well. Notice what it says, if you can look at it with me for a second. She says, if it please the king. One way to start off your prayers, and a great idea just always to start off prayers is, if it pleases the king. If it pleases the king, I'm asking for this. Now, we're not talking to King Xerxes, but we are talking to King Jesus, and it's a good idea for us to come before the King Jesus, and before asking him for stuff, adding the caveat, if it pleases the king. Is what I'm about to ask God pleasing to him? Is what I'm asking for, is what I'm after, is it pleasing to the king? Because if it is, then the windows are going to be completely open. Another note, it says here, let there be a decree that reverses the orders of Haman. Let there be a decree. Let there be a law. Let there be a new order. Let there be a decree that reverses what Haman had done. And here's all I have to say about this. Sometimes it is okay for us to just cry out to God and see what God does in our community and in our city. But sometimes there are actual laws of the land that have been passed that are detrimental and hurtful and killing citizens or people. And sometimes there are laws in different countries, not just this one, that are hurtful to a particular group of people. And so in this particular case, the law of the land was the Jews can be killed on this day. And so Esther says, let there be a different kind of law passed. And all I'm saying about this is this, folks. Some people think that if I'm a Christian and I love Jesus, I don't have to get involved in government. I don't have to get involved in politics. And for the most part, I like to stay away from politics. Because, I don't need to tell you why, right? It's an ugly scenario. But there is a time to rise up as followers of Jesus and demand from the kings of the world, let there be a different law that's passed. Because these laws are oppressive, or these laws are hurtful. May God help us to stand up for the right decrees as a nation and as a people of God. The king's decree gave the Jews in every city authority to unite to defend their lives. They were allowed to kill, slaughter, and annihilate anyone of any nationality or province who might attack them or their children and wives, and to take the property of their enemies. It allowed them to unite. So the new decree, a new law had to be written where the Jews were allowed to unite and come together. I'm going to say unite. A champion must realize that victory only comes when we work together. When we work together. So a champion must believe. A champion must persevere. A champion must press on. But a champion must also realize that victory only comes when we work together. And here's all I will say about this. If someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm struggling with an addiction. Okay? You name it. Whatever the addiction can be. Here are the two things that I tell them. If you get these two things in your life, it will help you. And if you stick to it, you will overcome. First thing is you need God. And the second thing is you need brothers and sisters. You need God and you need brothers and sisters. There is no freedom outside of God and brothers and sisters. There's God alone is a wonderful thing. I can get along with God and there's powerful. But God has given us the church. Amen? He's given us people. And people, we're supposed to help each other. If Isaac is down, he can help me. I can help him. If I'm down, he can help me. We're called to help each other. Because there are days when I can be happy and everything's good. And Isaac might be down, I'll lift him up. But if there are some days when I might be down because I might be struggling, on those days, I'm going to need my brother Isaac to lift me up. Listen, we need God and we need people. And in the deliverance story here, part of the decree said the Jews, here's one of the ways that they're going to be delivered. They're going to come together. They're going to unite. A champion must realize that victory only comes when we work together. Chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. So on March 7th, the two decrees of the king were put into effect. On that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, But quite the opposite happened. It was the Jews who overpowered their enemies. The Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the kings of provinces to attack anyone who tried to harm them. But no one could make a stand against them, for everyone was afraid of them. A champion, and this is just a follow-up to what we just said, a champion must connect with God and God's people and his people. A champion must connect with God and his people. And so here at Heart and Soul, we talk about building champions through a gospel revolution that brings transformation to our family, community, city, and world. And we talk about the first step is connecting to God, but the second step is just as important. Connect to other people. We must connect to others. In the first Sunday of October, we're going to have a small group leaders training. Because we believe that it is critical for all of us to work together to accomplish the things that God has for us. And so if you're interested in becoming a small group facilitator or a leader, you'll be willing to host this small group, please come and talk to me after service or reach out to me during the week. That training will happen the first Sunday of the month. It will be a training for those who are interested from 1 to 3. We would love to be part of that. Why? Because we believe that the Sunday experience is a blessing, but we need to connect with each other as well. A champion must connect with God and his people. He told them to celebrate these days with feasting and gladness, and by giving gifts of food to each other and presents to the poor. This would commemorate a time when the Jews gained relief from their enemies, when their sorrow was turned into gladness and their mourning into joy. A champion must celebrate the victories God has given. A champion must celebrate the victories that God has given. Has God done anything good for you? Are there any things that you could celebrate in your life that God has done for you? Celebrate those. I remember that on this day, I was in trouble and God got me out. Sometimes write it down in your journal. If you have an opportunity to write down, what are some things that you thought were going to destroy you, or you thought you would not overcome, and God has gotten you out of it? Celebrate those victories. Because part of becoming a champion, the makings of a champion, is to celebrate what God has done in your life and in mine. Oftentimes in this church, we tell the story of how there came a season where we had no money and no building. And when I say no money, I mean no money. Amen? Like we had no money in the bank. And we had no building. And we didn't know what to do. And supernaturally, through God orchestrating people to come and resources, little by little, we were able to start work in this building. And we started construction, and God brought people from all kinds of different churches, and resources started coming in, and little by little we were able to restore this building and relaunch the church, and here we are today. Amen? And here's why it's important, because it's important to celebrate the victories that God's given us. If God did it then, he can do it now. Sister Miriam was just talking about, the Lord has just given us more land. Did you know that? FYI. God just gave us this land. For years, this building was a pain on my side for a while. Whoever owned the building would have stuff going on. There was drug deals going on. There was even a drive-by shooting there many, many years ago, so no one getting nervous. Because it was just a bad situation. But in a moment, I remember Augustine telling me the kids went out, the young people, and we walked around, we circled that building, we laid hands on the building. That is going to be ours, amen? That was faith speaking. And shortly thereafter, buildings torn down, the land is available, we asked for it to be, and here we are today. God has given us that land, amen? Those are victories we have to celebrate. Can we give God a hand in the house? Amen? Those are victories that we can celebrate. And we can remember, if God has done this, he's going to be with us. God's not going to give us something so he can sit there and do nothing. God's given us things because he wants us to go to the next level. It's the same thing in your life and in my life. God is doing something inside of you. He's putting a hunger for his word, a hunger for church, a hunger for the things of God, because he's wanting to give you land in the spirit realm. He wants you to grow. He wants you to go to the next level because he's going to provide everything that you and I need. We must celebrate the victories God has given us. Amen? That's why we see, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What's that about, say so? It's saying, I've been redeemed. I've been cleansed. I'm a child of God. That's a victory. I celebrate that every day and on Sundays. That is why the celebration is called Purim, because it is the ancient word for casting lots. So because of Mordecai's letter and because of what they had experienced, the Jews throughout the realm agreed to inaugurate this tradition and to pass it on. Don't say pass it on. To their descendants and to all who became Jews. They declared they would never fail to celebrate these two prescribed days at the appointed time each year. Finally, a champion must share God's faithfulness with the future generations. A champion must share God's faithfulness. A champion must believe, I'll say believe, persevere, press on, nice and loud, press on. Together, we must connect, hallelujah. We must celebrate, and we must share what God has done with the future generations. Let's all stand together this morning. And let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the work that you're doing in and through us. We thank you for your faithfulness. Your mercy is without end. Your power is without measure, God. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you're calling us not just to stay where we are. You're not just calling us to survive, but you're calling us to thrive and to grow and to become the champion, the men and women that you're calling us to be, Jesus. So we thank you for that call. We respond to it this morning. We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you, Lord.